Well, good morning, everyone. Really, really hope you had a good Christmas. Maybe some of us here are still kind of away on vacation, and that's understandable, I think. I was talking with a couple of folks already. This is every church everywhere this morning and every Sunday after Christmas. It's a little light. We're still traveling. We're still recovering from everything about the holidays. But I hope it was all good. If you came from out of town, welcome. I'm glad you're here. If you're coming back from in town, this is home. Glad you're back home. And for those who are afar, might be hearing this online, well, take your time. This church will be here. This community will be here when you get back. But really hope you had a good Christmas yourself. I'm still a sucker for Christmas. I really am. I have to confess this childlike anticipation for the season, even as I get a tad older. I'm not old, I'm old. I'm older than I was, I can say that at least. As I continue to move forward, there's still this kind of childlike wonder and looking forward to the season of Christmas. I don't know, it's something that's stuck with me and I'm not trying to shed it. It's there and I still kind of like it. I think personally for me, excuse me, that goes back to my own childhood. I have memories of what Christmas was like in my house. As I'm sure we all have memories of what that looked like when you were a child as well. My parents, they always got it together for the holidays. And I'm not sure if my father will hear this, but I'll make sure my mother hears this message. I got to give most of the credit to my mother. I'm sure my father would as well. She was the one who made sure Christmas came together and happened in our household. All the mothers here say amen to that. I know, you're the ones probably doing the cooking, the decorations, running through the list, who needs presents, going out and get, it's incredible. And I know for a fact, now that I'm a tad older, it was my mother in particular who made sure Christmas came together. And I'm not just meaning the presents were all there, that's part of it, but it was the whole feeling of Christmas, the whole month leading up to Christmas, my parents making sure that I felt, my sister felt like Christmas was here, it was present, there was a different vibe in the air, there was excitement, there was anticipation. It was the food, it was the abundance of food and the sweetness of the food, in particular of the month. They made it happen. The house looked different, top to bottom, front to back. Our house just looked different in that month leading up to Christmas Day. Family, we saw parts of our family that we didn't see the entire year because Christmas was coming. Oh, it was just great. And then again, personal experience. I remember Christmas morning, and now, again, knowing a tad older now, that my parents were not always flush with cash, not even presently, but especially back when I was a kid, there were hard times. I was never made aware of it, and I never would have guessed, because the amount of presents that were under the tree always blew me away as a kid. It's amazing what a feeling I had as a kid to just see that. And now what amazement I have of my parents now knowing some of the financial restraints they had and still made it happen. But Christmas morning, I would wake up early, 5, 6, you know, shake mom and dad, come on, it's Christmas time, the presents are there. And we would unwrap and unwrap and the music would be playing and it was great. But then every year, and this went back as far as I could remember as a kid, about 12 o'clock noon came around, and all the presents were opened. And more or less, I gotta admit, I got just about everything I could ever want. And it was all open, and Christmas was done. And I wasn't quite sure what to do with myself. It happened. Christmas happened. But it happened. It's done. There was this feeling of uncertainty that overcame me, this kind of come down from all the excitement and anticipation. And even as I sat with all the toys and the gadgets and whatever did it for me in that particular year, I wasn't sure what came next. What do I do with myself after all of this came to head and then it was done? I mean, my family, again, we anticipated it, we prepared for it, it happened, but then what do we do with ourselves next? We built for ourselves, and maybe you over the years built for yourselves and your families fond memories of those mornings, of that season of Advent, that month of December leading up to Christmas. We have those with us always, and they're worthwhile. But I wonder what changed. What change came out of all of those fond memories, out of each and every Christmas that we celebrated together, what actually became different in our lives? What came from it all moving forward? Because I got to confess, as great as those Christmas mornings were, and as much as I got pretty much what I asked for, I still had another list the next year. There was still more to be had. There was still more I desired. What change came out of Christmas? Don't let go of those memories, by the way. Obviously, I haven't, and I cherish those memories in my heart. I remember them constantly. I remember them fondly, and remembering in itself is not a bad thing. Please continue to remember the positive memories that you have of Christmas time and of family and everything that surrounds it. Keep on doing that. That is a healthy thing to remember. That sense of remembering what happened and where we come from grounds us. It keeps us grounded in who we are, keeps us grounded in our identity, keeps us grounded in our family, in our cultures, in our tradition. Remember those good memories. Don't get rid of them. As a matter of fact, the practice of remembering was a really big deal for the people of Israel. They were real big on this. As you go through the Old Testament, as God did great things, subsequent generations are always commanded to remember. Remember what God had done for them. You think in particular of the Exodus out of Egypt. As God came and saved his people out of slavery and bondage and made them a free people, a redeemed people, they were always called to remember, remember, remember what God had done for them. And not just leading them out, taking them out of a bad situation, but in the wilderness and beyond, remember that God provided for you. Remember the source of your living, the source of your being, the source of having a future at all. It was God. And it is God. Remember that. That was always present before the Israelites in faith. And even in the passage today, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet, some hundreds of years later, after the Exodus out of Egypt and the provisions in the wilderness and beyond, he continues this tradition of remembering. He says, "I will recount your glorious deeds, O Lord. I will recall, I will recount, I will remember the good that you have brought to our people." This is hundreds of years later, and Isaiah is still in the practice of remembering, holding it in his mind and in his heart. I'd say that we would do well to remember not only your Christmas memories with your families or whatever your Christmases may have looked like in the past and even in this past year. You would do well to remember them, keep them in your heart as you move forward. It would do us well to remember the Christmas story. Tell the story again. Read from the Gospel of Luke and that grand narrative of how Christ was born. Read from Matthew, if you have the stomach for it. Read the genealogy. You know, it's kind of boring, I'll admit. But the genealogy of how we got to Jesus in chapter 1, and then, of course, the story in chapter 2 of the coming and birth of Christ. It would be good to recall and recount those stories every single year. Let's not stop doing that. Recall, remember how God gave himself a new name, Emmanuel. Essentially, God saying, "I came to be with you." Emmanuel being God with us. Remember that. Remembering keeps these past events with us. But remembering kind of has its limitations as well. Remembering fondly memories of past keeps the memories in the past. It really does. It's a good thing, but it has its limits. I remember the Christmases of old, but that's exactly what they are, the Christmases of old. Israel remembered what God had done for them, but it was a long time ago. Remember the Christmas story, the coming of Christ, because Christ did come, but it was quite some time ago. Remember it, but there is still more to be had. As much as we remember these things, I wonder, how do we allow such memories to affect our present living? And not just affect our present living, how do we have these memories affect the future that we live into? There is another practice And it sounds like I'm splitting hairs here, but I promise you I'm not. There is remembering, recalling kind of warm, fuzzy feelings of past occurrences. That is a practice of remembering. But there is another practice that I think we're called to. As a matter of fact, the Israelite people were called to as well. It is the practice of, ready? Remembrance. Remember, remembrance. Again, sounds like I'm splitting hairs, but it points to two very different practices. The practice of remembrance brings events and realities of the past to life here in the present. It brings it back to life. It's not just a memory of warm fuzzies, but no, it says this happened, therefore it means for us now this. This is more than just semantics. It's the difference of keeping God in a time capsule in the past versus inviting God to live with us into our present and, in fact, into our futures. As a matter of fact, as Pastor Pamela will guide us into communion a little later in the service, you're going to hear her. You're going to say it, too. You don't even know you're going to say it, but you're going to say it. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't do this remembering me. No, no. Do this in remembrance of me. Bring to life again what I have done for you, Jesus says. Bring to life again the sharing of my body and blood, not as something that happened a long time ago, but a practice that will carry us out into the world today. There is a difference from remembering and doing in remembrance. The Christmas story is something worth doing in remembrance of, revivifying, reliving, bringing to life again the power of what happened once upon a time. And there is something even in this passage today from the Old Testament that is worth doing in remembrance of. I don't know if you caught it, but it's a powerful thing. It was verses 8 and 9 where Isaiah says, "And he," and God, "became their Savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them." Suddenly, God became real close to us. God did not send another set of commandments. God did not impose yet another law on the 600 plus ones that were already going for the people of Israel. All these good things, all these necessary things that set people straight for good and right and holy living before God. But God took divine initiative and said, "I am going to come. It is my presence, not my words, not my laws, but I will come amongst you and save you." That God became present with us, present among us, present within us. This is worth practicing remembrance for. Not that it happened once a long time ago and that was neat, but no, that this is what God does and this is what God will continue to do. Be present with us. I think it is imperative that we not live in a place of remembering the great things that God has done. Don't forget them, remember them, but this is not where to stop. We are called to live in remembrance, live in light of, live in wake of, live in the power of what God has and is continuing to do. And that is to be present, yes, even in this world. Yes, even in this time. Yes, even in the lives that you are living right now. That God became Emmanuel, that God became present among us, demands a response. It really does. Isaiah pointed to this as a big deal, that it wasn't an angel, it wasn't a messenger, it wasn't another set of commandments, it was him who came to be with us. This is a big deal, and it's not something we are to take passively. It demands a response from each and every one of us. Case in point, we have biblical records of people's responses to God coming to be with us. The wise men, the magi from the east, God came to be with human beings. They responded by going, seeking out this child, and paying homage to him. King Herod, God coming to be with us demanded a response from King Herod. And unfortunately, he responded out of fear, as there was bloodshed and there was competition for who was going to be named king. Herod had to respond. The shepherds had to respond to God coming to be with them. First, there was fear, then there was wonder, and as they left the manger scene that they were guided to, they responded with praise out into the world, sharing what they had seen. There was Mary, Mother Mary. God came to be with her, and all she could do was to ponder these things, treasure these words, treasure this occurrence in her heart with a holy quiet. And then as this Christ child, this child king, was brought to the temple 8 days later, there were two prophets that were met there, Simeon and Anna, and this is in the Gospel of Luke. They knew that God had come and become flesh in their midst, and their response was to prophecy, which, by the way, doesn't mean telling the future. It means speaking forth the truth of God. And they prophesied what this coming of God in their midst would mean for the world. Our Savior, our King, our God in our midst. It changed their lives. It changed how they moved forward, even on any particular day. I wonder, how does the coming of God into our midst, not just once a long time ago, but right now and every day that is new, how does it change the way that we move forward, how we live our day-to-day life, how we hope for the future of your own lives, for the community that you live in, and in fact, of the whole world? How does it change who we are? The big difference in this event, this historical event, is this, that through God's presence with us in the person of Jesus, who was here for a time and then left us, Jesus the person in the flesh is not sitting in our midst today. He ascended. But the difference is that God present with us in the person Jesus, through him, God has initiated a time in which his presence will never depart from us. I'm fast-forwarding through the Gospels toward the end where Jesus said, though I am leaving you, this flesh version of God is leaving you, I am not leaving you alone. I am sending my Spirit, the persistent presence of God, to be with you always. There is a shift where something did happen, and yet in a way, it has never stopped happening since. God with us. So I ask again, how does this change how we live? I'm sure there's lots of ways to respond to this new reality that God is not apart from us, but with us and in our midst. There's a variety of ways, and we saw it already in the biblical text with the wise men and Herod and Mary and the prophets and the temple. There's a lot of ways to respond to this, but I thought of three ways that we might respond to this new reality in God. Number one, we can remember it. We can keep it in our past. Remember that Jesus story. Remember the manger scene. That was a good story. It happened. It's nice, but it was in the past. We'll just remember it fondly, kind of like we remember Christmas of yesteryear. It was good. It was nice. Number two, we could enshrine it. We can enshrine this event, as in we keep Christ only in Christmas. Really hone in during the season of Advent and the month of December and get real high holy and really hone in on that manger scene and the power of God with us. And then on December 25th, 26th, we let it go, only encapsulating it for a small period of time every year. It's another way we could respond to this occurrence of what God has done in our midst. Or number three, we can actually live into it. We can keep this present reality ever before us. Every morning we wake up, we can remember what God has done in Jesus and live in remembrance of the promise that came from that, that God is not leaving us ever again, that God is going to guide us forward every day, every step of the way. This is the new reality, and this is what we are to live in remembrance of. In the words of Isaiah, again, from this passage today, God became our Savior in our distress. Wow. God became our Savior in our distress. Therefore, I will no longer fear distress, or I will no longer fear itself. This is a new way forward because God is present with us. God became our Savior in our distress. Therefore, I will encounter others in their distress. This is a new way forward. God became our Savior in our distress. Therefore, I will trust and will continue to become a saving and redeeming presence in other people's lives, as God became a saving and redeeming presence in my life. By God's own presence among us, God has saved us. God has saved us, and this should change everything. At a particular point in history, God did this, the saving act, in a particular person of Jesus, occurring in a very particular town called Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a small town, kind of off the beaten path, away from the rest of the busy empire. Bethlehem can be a lot like Christmas, far removed from the ordinary lives that we live in, kind of off to the side on its own. But here we are, and I mean here we are today, December 29th, I had to check that, December 29th. We are post-Christmas, and if it hasn't happened yet, it'll happen soon. We are back to our ordinary lives. We are back to the ordinary world and the ordinary ways that it moves. In a way, it's kind of that 12 p.m. on Christmas Day that I always feared as a kid. Christmas happened, and it's behind us. Maybe for you, family has left town. Your house was busy and full and noisy in the best way, but maybe it's quiet now. Or vice versa, you're coming back from the place where all that excitement and hustle and bustle was to a quiet house of your own. Maybe your Christmas tree is looking a little lonely, remembering that there were presents there just a few days ago, stuffed under there, sprawled out across your floor, but now it's empty, and it's kind of eerie to see. Maybe even it's the angst of for those of you who are planners, maybe it's the angst of having no further plans to make. There's no other dishes to make. There's no other coordinating to be done. It's just kind of life back to usual. Christmas is over. Let's remember it fondly. Sure, remember Christmas fondly even this year. But the news of God becoming present with us, this is something worth living in remembrance of, to live forward in remembrance of this daily. The tree will come down, the lights will come down, the house will kind of look like it will for the rest of the year. But that doesn't change that God has changed everything. Christmas will come again next year, I promise. But the promise, the hope, the reality of God with us will never leave. So even this sanctuary, I keep looking at the Christmas decorations around, even as this sanctuary kind of goes back to its usual form, as your house goes back to its usual form, as your own heart kind of goes back to its usual form as the holidays come behind us, I pray, I really do, I pray that the power of the story of Christmas goes with you, not just becoming something that is behind us, but a reality that you step forward into every day, knowing that you are not alone, knowing that God has not left the world alone, but in fact, you are called to be as God is with you, present, ever present in the world. Amen.